What's up and welcome to Shop Sounds, a woodworking podcast about nothing. With myself, Nick Key of Key Woodworks, Jason Hibbs of Bourbon Moth, and Keith Johnson, better known as KJ Sawdust. All three of us are on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.
All right, folks, despite the fact that I didn't know that Holland is the Netherlands, Jason has a real kroner comprehension problem, and Nick doesn't know how a fish could eat laughs, this podcast continues to be sponsored by our butter-loving friends over at Bits and Bits, who, by the way, accused us of being nosy just because we wanted to know why they were buttering their faces. Now, when Bits and Bits aren't buttering up for a nice shave, they are hard at work making buttery bits for routers and the CNC right here in the US of A, where just because someone is covered in oregano and Parmesan doesn't mean you should try to eat them, Newman. Now, after Bits and Bits makes them bits, they grab a bucket of buttery smooth Astra coating and soak them in a giant hot tub of said deliciousness and gently stir them with a giant lacrosse stick, being very careful to baste them so they don't dry out. And this Astra coating has proven to give your razor blades, router bits, higher speeds and feed rates, and extend the life of them by up to 3 times. Bits and Bits are also constantly coming out with new bits and expanding their tool menu. So go check out their new tools page on bitsbits.com and hashtag get bit, baby. Man, I love things you don't have to think too much about. And don't forget, they also take the Great American Whiteside router bits and saute them with their Astra coating so they can be fully optimized in your routers, CNC, Shaper Origins, drill presses, Panto routers, Dremels, Vitamixes, Rascals, or Burr coffee grinders. And finally, Bits and Bits is also an authorized Festool dealer, so go pick up a Festool router to house your bits. And be sure to go check out all of Bits and Bits' offerings at bitsbits.com and use coupon code Morsels15 to save 15% off your next order of router or CNC bits, because every time you use that coupon code, the natural emollients continue to keep my morsels sticky and smooth. Or silky smooth, as it were.
Oh, I decided not to change anything till the very last sentence.
You got it. I don't want my morsels sticky. Boy.
Or smooth.
All right. Yeah,
well, they are smooth.
Pause 1 second. I bought a new laptop charger on the internet from China, and it's not charging my computer, but I have the other one right here.
It's not. it's actually for my iPod Shuffle.
Okay.
Not for my iPad.
It's from his iPood.
All right.
What was the one on The Office where she gets, instead of the iPod, the Prism Duro Sport that,
oh yeah,
that Roy buys her?
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Well, speaking of, knockoffs, we got some new patrons.
What?
I don't know. I'm running out of segues, so I just got to take what I can get. Anyways, we got a whole bunch of new patrons, and they're not knockoffs. These are name brand, the real deal, the expensive kind. And this is in no particular order of importance, but we've got Alan Chapman. We got Guy Penny, Tony Stewart.
Tony's the NASCAR guy?
Maybe. It's Martha's brother, Tony. and he's at I always get confused when things are run together here. TA Custom Graphics is what I think it is. Or Custom Graphics.
You got it.
Okay. Or it could be Takus Tom Grap Hicks.
Grap.
Any combination of those you want. And then we got William Brown. We got Bison Broman.
That is a solid name.
That is hardcore. I like that.
His friends call him BB. We got Jeffrey Williams, Justin Hyde. He is heir to the Hyde Glue fortune. And he's at j.b.woodcraft. We got Nathan Martin at bear.surfboards. He likes to surf up in the nude. We got Callan Callahan. That's a good name, right?
Callahan Auto Parts.
And then we got
Scott Tommy?
Scott Walsh.
The Canadian?
Yeah, that's our Canadian buddy.
He could sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in a white dress.
To an Eskimo in a white dress. To an Eskimo in a white igloo.
Scott Walsh, Joe Hamblin?
Hamblin.
Everett Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Callan Rutherford.
Yeah.
Travis Roundhouse. You
I don't know why that's in there.
Because it's in like there, Chuck Norris, this guy.
You have to read it like that, though. Travis Roundhouse, you all. Right. Michael Doric, Chris Pavlov, and man, Chris. I bet every time he hears a bell, he salivates. We got he wants Craig. And we've got Sean Fields. And that brings us to the end of our new patrons. And then, of course, we got some returning patrons. And we'll shout them out towards the end of the podcast because there's a lot of them. So,
Man, these names were too easy.
I know. I just sailed through those.
Yeah.
That was a record time.
No stumbling. Mm.
Goodness. Mm. So, boys.
Yes.
You guys are still friends?
Yeah, well, we made it. We survived. At least on the surface.
I will say this is the first build off. I mean, it's not build off, collaboration that I've done with someone where we really didn't have any downtime to just hang out and have fun. It was kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
You did work the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, we filled every spare moment with work. The only thing we remotely did that was somewhat like downtime is one night we squeezed in a dinner at a Mexican restaurant, and that was it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
it. It was really good, though. They had great seltzer there.
Yeah. Homemade tortillas.
Pico de gallo.
Yeah. Nick, that's the place we went when we were out there at the shuffleboard table with the Mexican place. Remember you had that?
The Mexican
beer
place.
Drink,
oh, yeah.
That you weren't supposed to show on for your boss.
Right. That Jesus place was great.
Yeah.
No, he
yeah,
he
but
didn't
now
know.
They've upgraded it. So when you walk in, there's a nice Mexican lady. The first thing you see, and she's sitting behind this little booth making all the tortillas right there in front of you.
She's like,
dude, that
little,
place was
dough
wild.
Balls. It was wild. We were talking about there's who like, was like the tile contractor for that place because there's so many Mexican tiles.
Also,
styles.
Who was the framer? The framer, because there's like 30 different rooms in that restaurant.
I know. Arches and all sorts of things. It's funny, 30 different rooms in that little, I mean, not little, it's a huge Mexican restaurant, yet one single room bathroom.
It is? I didn't even.
Yeah.
One baño, that's it?
Uno baño, por favor.
The
El
funny
baño
thing is,
muy poquito.
We pulled into the parking lot, and that was Friday night, right? So there wasn't barely a spot in the parking lot. I'm like, oh my God, we cannot wait to eat. We're going to have to come up with a plan B. And we walk in, it was like there was nobody there. We got to sat down right away, got our food right away. Like, I don't know where all those people
were. I wonder if that place has ever been full.
Oh, like, to max capacity?
Yeah, if it has been full, then the town of Albany would have been a ghost town at that moment. Everybody
everybody
would have to be in that restaurant.
I wonder if everyone was at the bar. Maybe that's why nobody was actually eating.
They do have a good happy hour there.
Half price margaritas. So,
yeah, but other than that, I mean, we worked and, I mean, it wasn't just like, you know, a normal day's work. We were starting fairly early. We were working pretty late. I felt bad for Keith.
But well, that Friday night, our last night was the latest. I think it was like 11 o'clock. We finally wrapped the drawer fronts, right?
What?
Or was it 10:30?
I think it was like 10:30. The latest night we worked was night two. I remember because I just edited the video and I was going through all the footage and I broke it up in the videos like by day, what we
did.
Yeah,
that's what
day.
I did.
And the first 2 days, we got an insane amount done. The first day was pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the longest day on the video. And then day number two was the day that we had to have everything done because the film crew was coming the next day to film us putting that in. And so we had to have everything done. So we worked until, I think, 12:30 that night.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, wow.
And we were going to work later because we were going to put the flooring in. But then we got a text from the camera dude, and he said he was going to show up until 10. So we were like, oh, we can put the floor in the morning.
Frickin' Luya.
Yeah.
Because that was, not to mention there's no lighting in there at night. So we were trying to put that flooring in the dark because Jason didn't have any auxiliary shop lights or anything. So it's just as well.
Yeah, because it was like 12:30. We had just put Rubio on the oak top. And in my mind, I was like, man, now we got to go lay the flooring starting at 12:30. But then I saw the text and I was like, oh, thank God, we'll do it in the morning. Because we didn't have to do the whole floor. We just needed like three strips.
Right.
So we could set the cabinets on top of it. But we got it done.
You know,
we did. Well,
I got to say, your intro is hilarious.
It is.
When is that video dropping?
Tomorrow
morning. They both drop simultaneously. They go live.
So if you're listening to this, you need to go check it out right now.
That's right. Yeah, the podcast will drop an hour before at 7 a.m. and then videos come out at 8 a.m. Eastern. And
well, mine will come out at 5 a.m. So
right. 5 a.m. Western.
Your time. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do the math.
Hmm. So, oh, should be good.
And was, how long did your video end up being total?
Oh, I think 35 or 36 minutes.
Wow. Mine's my longest video ever. It's right at, well, it's just under 40. I think it's at 39.
Gosh.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to be in the 40s. Is that with your ad 40. Spot or without?
It's, okay. No, it's with everything. It's right at 40.
Oh, okay.
So,
man, it is so long.
It is.
I know.
But there was so much involved. It's crazy. How much we got done in 5 days.
Like you did the same thing over and over.
No.
Yeah, but there was a lot of steps because we had to build the base cabinets. We had to do the oak top. We had to do two sets of upper cabinets for the height because there's six upper units. And then there was installing the upper units and scribing everything to the wall. And then we added the little bump out soffit on the top with all the tongue and groove paneling. And then we had to make 18 drawers. We had to make 18 drawer faces. I mean, it's a lot to fit in and touch on. And I cut some of it out. Some of it I was like, oh, I'm not even going to mention that. We don't need to talk about it.
Yeah, I cut everything that had you in it. I just cut it out. So it made it look like I did everything.
That's funny. It's the same with mine. It's much all me. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's fine, though. But I know I've said it already, but thank you so much, buddy. I could not have done that without you.
Oh, you're welcome. It was. I know we worked our butts off, but it was still fun. We had a lot of laughs, and we. It's still, you know, it's fun to, at the end of it all, sit back and like, holy crap, did we actually just build that in 5 days,
dude. Or less than 5? Every time I walk in that room now, I just start laughing because it's so ridiculous how big that is. I mean, every time I walk in there, I just start giggling because it looks like I walked onto the set of Beauty and the Beast. It's just it's just funny big.
Well, I mean, I don't want to give too much away about the, but we were, you know, we'd finished all the bookcases were in, trimmed out, and we were putting in the tongue and groove walling, whatever, in the gable end. And there was really no way to get it all, attached and screwed in from the inside, and we're halfway kind of up and we're trying to figure it out, and Jason, in true Jason fashion, says, you think this is a crazy idea if I just crawl inside and you hand me the pieces and then I screw it all together and then I come out the top of the bookcase after we cut a hole in it? And I'll just say it may or may not have worked.
That sounds right.
And there's footage of it.
What did work was after entombing myself in that and coming out the top of the cabinet and then patching our hole that we had to cut for me to get out. The next day, realizing I couldn't find my wireless isotunes anywhere.
Oh, no.
And they are forever entombed in my ceiling now.
That was, yeah. So while he's like behind the wall, like sweating, obviously, because he's in this little teeny space, it's insulated and it's hot. I'm going up and down the scaffolding 100 times. Like, can you get this? Can you get that? Cut this, cut that. Give me screws. I need this, I need that. I'm like, I was dying by the end of all. Like, well, I've never taken so much Advil in such a short amount of time.
I know. Every night we would just like grab a fistful of ibuprofen, like M&Ms, and crunch them down.
And then in the morning when we wake up, coffee and Advil.
Well, and then we went all the way up to the peak of the roof with his tongue and groove, and then there's a center ridge beam, and we went right to the base of that. And our original thought was, okay, I'm going to finally climb out of here, and then we're just going to put this little cap piece on the front side and just tack it on with some, like, 18-gauge nails or something. Mm-hmm. But the ridge beam wasn't exactly square, and it was really high up and hard to get to, so after climbing out of this tiny hole, we finally came to the conclusion that it would be easier to add a piece on both sides of the ridge beam from the inside. So I had to climb back up in there. And getting in there was so much harder than getting out, because getting out, all I had to do was really like slow, you know, I was letting gravity do most of the work and just slowing down my descent. But climbing straight up back in there was really, really hard.
Not to mention there was like a screw that I don't know how you didn't completely scrape your spinal cord on that was like sticking straight out, which I don't even know why that screw was. Oh, it must have been when we screwed the back on into that shelf.
Yeah, it's the back panel.
Oh, gosh. But my, if you don't watch any other part of my video, watch the part where I have you coming out of there and I reference a movie. I get a movie clip in there that I reference your escape.
You got
to.
Some Andy Dufresne?
No, no. Not that would have been highbrow.
Perfect.
So, yeah. But he got out, and it was so funny because he's in there, and poor Ivor's like, I need to see my dad. And Kara's like, well, you can hear him talk. And she's like, no, I need to see his face.
He was like, he was very concerned that I was going to get trapped in there forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, oh, wow.
Such a sweet boy. But he made it.
I made it. I'm here to tell the tale. The built-ins are in. I took off all the drawer faces this morning and gave them to the painter. So he's going to paint those off-site, and then they're going to start painting that whole interior on Thursday next week. So I have until then to get all the trim work and everything else done.
Wow. Now, bear in mind, this is 10 o'clock on Friday night, and all the drawer fronts are sanded, you know, sand all the edges, round everything, perfect, break all the edges, and we're bringing them in there, and Jason goes, you know, how funny would it be if these don't fit?
I forgot about that.
So we put them up, and we butted the left and right one against the face frame, and then they overlapped in the middle.
So we had
no reveals, and they were overlapped. So we had to take all 18 back into the shop, cut them all, and that wasn't enough because then I had to sand all the edges, round all those corners off again on 18 drawers.
Well, and then, man, we had a lot of trouble with those drawer faces because not only were they too big, so we had to cut them down, we started mounting them to the drawer boxes, and we realized that they were kind of pulling out at the top. So after kind of examining, we realized that, okay, so back up, we were going to use, the way I always do it, I think Keith does it this way too, is you use half-inch material for your panel on the inside, and you do a rabbet. So from the front, it looks like an inset panel, but on the back, it's perfectly flat.
Flat.
So you have a flush back that you can mount to your drawer face. Well, we went to get half-inch MDF, and they were completely out of it. And so we were like, dang, we didn't know what to do. We didn't want to use Baltic because it just doesn't paint as well. So we decided we'll just use quarter inch, and then we'll cut a little piece of quarter inch to just insert in the back to make it flush. And that'll give us a place to mount our hardware so that when we do our hardware against our drawer box, it won't get sucked in. So we just put a little piece of quarter inch, maybe like 6 inches long, just enough that the hardware would land on it. But then the corners of the drawer boxes were still getting sucked into that void and pulling out at the top. So after cutting all the drawer faces down to the right size, then we realized we needed to fill more wood on the outside, but we were out a quarter inch MDF. So I had those leftover triangles from that mobile bar cart I did.
Oh, no.
Some sapele?
That just happened to be the right thickness. And so we started cutting those up and shoving them in there. And you're not going to see them. I mean, the drawer is going to completely cover it. You won't be able to tell they're there. But it was like, oh my gosh.
But the other issue was
slamming scraps in there.
Yeah, with CA glue. But But the other issue was because we put that half quarter inch MDF back there, but we had never planed down our poplar to 3/4 of an inch, so it was 13/16. So that quarter inch panel in the back still wasn't flush, so that was causing an issue too. And then, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, this is what happens when you're in a rush.
In a rush, sometimes. Yeah. Because it's just so funny because both of us always plane down our material before we make our like shaker style frames, but somehow we just completely missed
blanked on it. Yep.
Yeah. That's and funny. It messed us up because the reason I planed it down is because I usually cut all my mortise and tenons for the shaker style doors with a cross cut sled on the table saw. And I've never had any issues. They fit great. Well, we're starting to cut all of our mortise and tenons and we get one set perfect. We film it. It slides in beautifully. And then we go to cut the next one and it's too big. And then we were like, well, that's weird. Let's cut another one. We cut the next one. It's too small. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm telling Keith, I swear, this is the first time this has happened. I don't have the... And Keith's getting frustrated. He's
blaming me.
I do it on the route. This is why I do it on the router table.
Maybe I did. But I do it on both. I don't exclusively do it on the router table. But then cross-cut sled. You got to put a little pressure down. Not too much, just a little bit. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, so but now that's when we realized... That's when we realized we didn't plane down our material. So everything, it wasn't consistent.
Yeah.
Everything was like a hair thicker or a hair smaller because all the pieces were just stock what we got at the lumber yard.
Whatever, right.
And so that completely screwed up cutting all the tendons. And we got it done and figured out in the end. But man, we made it harder on ourselves than we needed to.
Yeah, on a Friday night.
But
Nick, I mean, while we were going through all of this, you were on vacation at the beach.
Yeah, that's correct.
How was that?
Yeah. Oh, it was glorious.
I see you didn't really come back with too much color there for a week at the beach.
Let me tell you, the tops of my feet are as dark as possibly you can. Yeah. Day one, I burned the top of my feet. So that's always a joy. You know, when you go to the beach, you really want to burn something.
How did you burn the top of your feet? George Foreman?
Yeah. I like bacon. I like the smell of bacon when I wake up. Sue me.
Is this the same grill you burnt your foot on? No. It's a different grill.
That's a different one. The first day we go out and we're, you know, enjoying the sunshine on the beach. And one of my daughters was like, I need to go to the bathroom. So I walked her back up to the house. And we're staying, we're at Emerald Isle in North Carolina. And we're right on the beach, so our house walks right out onto the beach. It's great. So they need to go to the bathroom. We walk right back to the house. But you don't want to walk in the house with sandy feet because then sand's just everywhere. Mm-hmm. So they have like a shower outside, and I wash my feet off outside, went in, took care of her, and then we went back out to the beach. I washed the sunscreen right off my feet and didn't think about it. So then when I went out for the next like 2-3 hours, I was getting full sun right on the tops of my feet and they just got burnt to a crisp. They were purple like the second day.
Oh, yeah.
You should have brought some butter with you.
I know, right?
Would have soothed that burn.
It shaves great.
You got to stay juicy.
Man.
Yeah.
Sunburns are the worst. And I feel like you forget so easily. You get a really bad sunburn and you're like, never again. I'm never going to make this mistake again. And then next summer rolls around, you completely forget. And now I'm never going to do this again, starting now.
Yep.
I remember when we went on a couple cruises, like the one thing they tell you is don't forget to put sunscreen on the bottom of your feet. Because when you're laying like in your chairs, like people forget. Yeah. And then you try to walk around. It's like, it's like walking on hot coals.
That was the other thing is that there was like a patch of sand that didn't get any water in between where the water was and going back to the house. That was like third degree lava burns. If you, like run as fast as you can to get to the dock or the whatever. Cause man, it was so hot.
It's so funny because like looking at the news right now, most of the country is in these like record breaking highs for heat. Like the East Coast is hitting hundreds and everything. And it is the coldest summer on record up in Oregon right now.
Really?
Like today, it's middle of June. getting close to July. It was 56 degrees today.
Oh, man, that sounds amazing.
Overcast, raining. It's just nuts. Like last year at this time, it was 120 here.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
So,
I mean, that was the beauty.
Do what?
I was waiting to see if you want. I was saying that was the beauty of being out there when it was so cool is I could wear my standard uniform with my short sleeve shirt and my long white sleeve shirt underneath. Mm. It was just the last day. It got a little too humid and toasty for me.
Yeah. Yeah, normally it's not humid out here at all, but you were out here on probably one of the most humid days I ever remember. I mean, because it had been raining so much and then the sun poked out and got a little moist. But it still wasn't anything compared to your humidity over on the East Coast.
Yeah.
No, it was rough. I think it hit like 93 here this week, and the humidity brought up to like heat index to like 106, 107. It was nasty here. Thankfully, tomorrow the high is only 76.
Ooh.
I don't know what, like, we had a storm
Bruce?
Early, yeah, came through yesterday. Earlier today. Yeah, it blew through. It blew through. And then tomorrow is going to be so much nicer because I was dreading. I have a wedding tomorrow.
You're dreading a wedding?
Yeah, I was dreading a wedding. I've got to photograph it tomorrow, and I was not looking forward to 90, plus degree weather because it's outdoors, but it's going to be nice.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's the last wedding I'll ever photograph.
Oh, nice.
Are you hanging it up?
I have like four friends that are wedding photographers, and all of them right now are like trying to quit because they hate it so much.
Yeah, you just get burned out on it so fast. Yeah. It's like making cutting boards over and over.
Craig is... doing his last wedding here in a few weekends, I think.
Is he?
Nice. I feel like if you were single, it would be pretty good. Like wedding crashers. Like you could maybe score every time.
Yeah.
That's what the kids all right, are calling
you,
it.
Now, bridesmaid second to the left. You come with me. We're going to do our own shoot over here.
Yeah. Mostly nude.
Oh, so speaking of Craig, last night... we went up to a little maker meetup in Portland, and we typically do these like once a month with makers in the local area, and we usually meet at some brewery somewhere. And we were at a brewery last night, we're hanging out, and then we were going to go get something to eat afterwards, me and a couple other people. So we left my truck at the brewery and walked a few blocks to this little Cuban restaurant, and we were all hanging out there and eating. And by the time I got back to my truck, it was probably like 11:30. And everybody had left. The brewery was closed. We get in my truck, just about to get going. And I turn around to grab something out of the back seat. And I look over and realize, I don't know how Craig didn't realize this when he got in the truck, but my back rear, like right behind the passenger side window, is completely smashed. Just shattered. And me and Craig both had our golf clubs in the truck. And they didn't take my golf clubs. All they did was smash the window and grab Craig's little satchel bag with his laptop in it and took off.
And his giant bag of heroin.
And his giant his bag of AK-47s was in there. And
oh, man.
Yeah, so I was sitting there calling the insurance company at 11:30 at night, and they'll cover the window. That's no problem, but they won't cover the they will cover the stolen property, but that falls under my homeowner's policy. I didn't realize that your homeowner's policy, the deductible is based on the like price of your house, and it's a low deductible considering that, but it's still like 0.5%. So it's enough that... it wouldn't even be worth it to file an insurance claim for his computer because it wouldn't cover it. So what can you do? And the insurance company was like, well, we recommend you filing a police report. And all I could think about was that episode in Seinfeld where Jerry's apartment gets broken
anything?
Into. No.
Somebody took my answer machine.
I'm not going to. I just hate the idea of somebody else returning my calls. That's what I told Craig. We were driving home and I was like, I just hate the idea that somebody else is out there responding to Patreon messages.
Responding to your emails.
Oh, no, man. So I didn't file a police report. I mean, what are they going to do? They're not going to find it.
No, they won't.
No, no. That thing's been stripped clean for parts and it's on its way to China by now. That's going to be in my new Mac that I just ordered, probably the parts from that.
Craig had two pairs of Isotunes in there. So in 1 week, we lost three pairs of Isotunes. Oh. One in a ceiling and a two week. To a thief. Yeah.
That guy made out. I guess he didn't like golf.
I guess not. That's the funny thing is our golf clubs, either one of those sets alone is worth more than a computer. He probably just didn't want to lug a set of golf clubs down there.
Yeah, that's a little less...
Like Craig's sets was on top and mine was on the bottom, and so he probably saw him and assumed both were left-handed sets. And was like, yeah. What am I going to do with a left-handed set? Nobody wants those. And then driving home the hour and a half from Portland with a smashed window open.
Oh,
it's like 48 degrees, we're freezing. It's like when Kramer shows up in the Hamptons and the top won't go up.
Oh, I hate that episode. One of the very few.
Maybe the dingo ate your baby.
32-47, 42-67. Finally, I got it. Oh, so real quick, I want to give a shout out because you guys saw this today to Chad Hudson, who I didn't see it before. You guys saw it first, where I guess what did you say, Nick? He works for NBC or something? And
he's the art director.
And he put the Shop Sounds podcast logo on like at the US Open, the country club sign for the golf course, and then put each of our logos in the flags that were waving in the wind. So if you happen to catch any of our stories, we reposted it. Just fantastic. Thank you, Chad.
Hilarious.
It was awesome. That was hilarious.
That was pretty epic.
Good stuff. Mm-mm-mm. So I saw that you got home and didn't waste any time, Keith. You immediately dove right back into that walnut table. Are your arms tired from playing in that thing yet?
It's just like, it's so much work. You can only get so far down with power tools before you got to take the hand tools and start shaping it. But I was making the template for the smaller legs and on the shaper. And I made the little template in Shaper 3D. I output it to an SVG, and I got it into the Shaper Hub all myself, like a big boy, and set it all up. And I cut it out, and it was supposed to be like 8 inches long, and it was like 10.5. So after I cut it out, I looked down. I'm like, that's like the size of a football. That's way too big. So I texted Shaper Sean, and I was like, do you have any idea what happened here? I was able to, because it's vector, I was able to just resize it how I needed in the actual Shaper origin itself. But he's like, yeah, I don't know. So I cut that out. Yeah, it was really helpful. It's like sometimes that stuff just happens.
Oh,
I can hear him.
I got a Shaper story for you that happened yesterday.
Yesterday?
So I got a FaceTime from Sean, and I missed it, so I immediately called back, and he's like, hey, man, I just wanted to talk to you about this giveaway that you're wanting to do. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, the email you sent to customer service saying that you wanted to do a giveaway of one of our machines, I wanted to like talk about the details with you. And I was like, what the heck are you talking about? I never contacted anybody about a giveaway. So he sends me this email, and that's what I thought at first. I was like, is Craig like trying to set something up and I didn't know about it? But he sends me this email. Somebody created their own email address. My email address is bourbonmoth@gmail.com. They created an email address, bourbonmothwoodworking@gmail.com. They wrote customer service, said like, I love your machine. I use it in all these videos. I really want to do a giveaway for my fans with your machine and like all the accessories. I'd love it if you could send those out to me. So this person's like scamming Shaper,
wow,
trying to get a free machine.
Great idea.
I know. I thought it was a great idea. I give them props. I mean, why don't more people do this sort of thing? It's just a funny scam because it's not like a monetary amount like you're trying to scam an old lady. It's a very specific scam to try and get a Shaper origin.
Wow, they got to trace that IP address, find out who it is.
It's going to come right back to me.
Yeah.
So if you have any customer service questions or you need to get a hold of me, remember my email is bourbonmothwoodworking@gmail.com and I will get back to you as soon as I can.
Hey, did you know your like the address for your YouTube channel is like Bourbon Moth Home Decor or something?
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why it's like that. It's weird.
That is weird.
Huh.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to the legs. So I've just been a lot of shaping. I was using that power planer to kind of get down where I needed to. And then I had one oopsie. I took a giant gouge out of like near the top of the leg. I was like, you know, I'm just going to finish with hand tools. And then for the second leg, I said, I'm just going to take this to the actual jointer. So I just kept running it back and forth, like turning it as I went, like a rotisserie, and got it really close to my lathe. It was so much easier doing it that way.
Man, if you had a big enough lathe, you could have done those smaller ones just on the lathe.
Yeah, but it's oblong. It's not round.
Yeah, but you can turn oblong things like that on the lathe.
How do you do that?
So when I was down at Justin LaRose's shop, he was showing me how he turns oblong hammer handles on the lathe. And basically, I'll probably mess this up. So any lathers out there, you can correct us.
lathers. You mean turners?
Yeah. But basically, you know how when you're going to get something perfectly round, you find the dead center of it and you center it on the lathe. And so as you turn it, it's like perfectly tubular or whatever you want to call it. To do the oblong, you do off-centered on either side of the center point. And I think you do it off-centered to one side, turn it, and then you do off-centered to the other side and turn it. And you do, it's crazy. You get that exact oblong shape.
That sounds scary as all get out. Not to mention I don't have a lathe that'll take that size material. Yeah.
Oh, but you can do it. It seems weird, but you can... I mean, that's how they do those like hammer handles and everything that are oblong.
But I assume you'd have to do some kind of math, right, to figure out exactly your points to get you the radius or whatever you want to call that. Not a radius. I guess.
Think you just decide. Yeah, there's got to be some sort of math involved, I'm sure. But he showed me.
Just eyeball it.
Seems like it doesn't work, but it would work.
That's wild.
Sure, if you look up oblong turning on the lathe, you'd find a bunch of stuff.
Hmm. I won't, but you're probably right. Well, because I was going to do that with the giant leg, but it was like 50 pounds, so it's like impossible to kind of balance that and hold it. But with these smaller legs, so easy. And then it finished. Yeah. It still took like an hour after that to clean up by hand. And it was like 77 in my shop, so I was breaking a sweat. I don't know who wants to do that on a Friday at 6 o'clock. Yeah. But they're pretty much done. So now it's on to whatever the next step is in this thing. I don't even know. I got to cut some edges off.
How are you
going
to attach the legs to the top?
I'm going to do what we did with the shuffleboard table. I'm going to have a metal plate made and then mount it to the plate and then have countersunk holes and then mount the plate to the bottom of the desk. That way we can move the desktop and the legs separately, getting it in and out and wherever. And I was a little tentative on how to actually attach those because he doesn't want a stretcher or anything, which I think will be fine. But I was worried, like, what, do I just domino this thing right into the tabletop? And then maybe, I don't know. I was a little leery on strength there. But with the metal plate, I'm totally good with it.
I just sent you guys a YouTube video that I haven't watched, but it is on oval
wood
wooden turning.
Handles.
So there you go. You can see the mystery behind it.
All right. I am interested in that, actually. So, that and I got to finish up this fireplace. I got my skull. My last skull showed up yesterday.
to back up a second, because I was searching for oval hammer handle videos. I think the metal plate is a great way to attach those legs because the really nice bonus to it with the shuffleboard table is it makes it so easy to take the legs off to move the table.
Right.
So,
and this will just, when I actually deliver this thing and then getting it inside through the doorways, like you don't have to fight it and hook it to get it in. So that'll be the plan. And I gotta build a drawer. We haven't decided, on what kind of drawer yet, what kind of dividers and stuff. But I do that. I got to finish up this fireplace. And I don't know. I wrote a list down. I was inspired by your whiteboard in your shop, Jason. And I wrote down a list of all my projects that I, number one, have in progress, which is a lot. because I never finish anything. And then also what's on the itinerary. So,
well, I encourage you before you start anything new, start checking off those half done ones.
Oh yeah, that's the idea. Those are the YouTube videos. Yeah. So those are what's going to get wrapped up.
That would stress me out so much to have that many half-done projects laying around.
Well, it stresses me out to like have to go back and like figure out where I was and get the motivation back to finish.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Get those done and then never do that again. Start a project, finish it, put out the video. Boom. Move on with your life.
Wise.
Right.
You're so wise.
I know. And if you need me to fly out so we do it all in 4 days to get it done, that's fine.
Yeah, maybe that's it. You're like the, what was that show? The Trading Spaces, whatever. I forget. Well, they come in because the guy never finishes anything. So they come in and finish all his projects. Or maybe it was Someone to the Rescue. I don't know. Whatever it is. Mm. Jason whatever to the Rescue.
That's right.
Will be the pilot episode of your next show.
Fescue Rescue.
Festool Rescue?
Sure. Festool is going to be here on Wednesday in my shop.
Oh, they're doing a little live podcast?
They're doing a live podcast. At least a month ago they said that date, but I haven't heard from them since. So I'm just assuming they'll show up on Wednesday, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Clear the calendar.
Yeah.
So what are you building next, Nick? I see you clean your... Let's watch you clean your vacuum today and take the name right off it.
Yeah, really gripping, right gripping content you're putting out nowadays, Nick.
It's what the people want, man.
You cleaned your vacuum, does that make you a vacuum cleaner?
It makes me the vacuum cleaner.
Wow.
That is correct.
Crazy.
Don't you know that everything is content?
Mm, yeah. It's true.
Don't forget to film it. Everything is content.
Everything.
Yeah, no, I've been stuck in a what am I gonna do? What do I need to do? I guess I'll just film this because I need to clean this vacuum because I mean I got black overspray from that guitar all over it and it was looking really, really ratty. When I went out to somebody's house like probably 2 or 3 weeks ago now I had to shave off the bottom of a barn door that I made a couple years ago. And it's because they got new flooring, and the flooring raised up about an eighth of an inch higher than the original flooring. So I had to zip off about an eighth inch of that
track
barn
saw,
door.
Baby.
That's exactly what I did. Just brought a track saw, did it right on site. Didn't even take the door off the wall.
Perfect.
Zipped it right off. But I had brought that vacuum with me, and I was like, everything else looks pristine, and then here comes this oversprayed black and yellow extractor.
Bumblebee.
And I'm like, yeah, I should probably clean this up.
What'd you clean it off with? Was that paint gun cleaner?
Yeah, it was just paint gun cleaner.
Yeah, what? I've never seen that.
Dude, naked it's gun? Amazing. Yeah, it's called Naked Gun from Clean Stripe.
It's called Naked Gun.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's called. It's called Naked Gun. It's naked for gun cleaning paint guns. Yeah. Yeah, it's real good. That's my favorite Naked Gun. But I think Jim from Fuji Spray put me onto that stuff. He's like, yeah, grab this stuff. It cleans your gun, makes it perfect. Like, cause I had overspray, from, I don't remember what project all over my gun. And he said, yeah, just get that stuff. It comes right off. Sure enough, it does. But MJ, our boy over at, Bits and Bits, he commented on that reel. And he's like, by chance, did that stuff smell like acetone? And I was like, you know, I don't think it did.
It's probably all it is.
Yeah, I looked it up. 80% acetone.
Oh my gosh. And the rest is perfume.
20% is propellant. Yeah.
Propellant.
I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. But it works. Oh, it's great. So it's acetone in a spray can.
Yeah, I was going to say, because sometimes I'll just I'll dip my gun in acetone to clean off the overspray, and it works great. And
same thing.
Makes sense, because it's the same thing.
Just in a little bit more convenient spray bottle.
Yeah.
Wow.
But.
And what are you building next? Are you building another guitar or nothing in the hopper, huh?
nothing in the hopper as of yet. I have a couple things I need to try and squeeze in that are like honey-do list kind of things. So you guys might know I have a hat collection. I have every Major League Baseball hat, plus some of their alternates. So that's, I mean, already 36 plus whatever. So that's a ton. But I mean, I have close to 100-150 hats, and I need somewhere to put them. So I want to make like a hat drawer that will go on top of my like dresser that'll match the dresser. So it'll be like a pull-out drawer for all my hats so that I can see kind of rows of hats from the front. So I'll have like a plexiglass front or something that lifts up and then like pull-out trays
for all of those hats. Why don't you just store them on the back of the couch like I do with mine?
Well, how many you got? Like 3?
Yeah, it drives my wife crazy because I'll come in at the end of the night. I'll like plop down on the couch. Plop. You like that, Keith?
Yeah. Keith must have said plop 800 times this week. It's a new word of the week.
I do a bit in the video about how you made fun of me for saying plop so much.
Just plop them in place.
But I sit down on the couch and I always take my hat off and set it on the back of the couch, and then I'll go to bed and leave it there, and then I'll get a new hat from my bedroom and go out to work the next day. And by the end of the week, there's like 5 hats sitting on the back of the couch, and my wife's like, why don't you find a place to put your hats instead of on the back of the couch?
Unbelievable.
So.
All right. Well, I mean, that seems like it's going to be a pretty big drawer if it's going to house 150 some odd hats.
Mm-hmm. Especially with your noggin.
Right.
I know.
Yeah, those are not one size fits all.
7.5.
Wow. 7.5.
Yeah, that's what I wear.
What is that measuring? That's not the circumference.
Is it not?
No.
It can't be. It's got to be bigger than 7.5.
Might be the radius.
Yeah, maybe the radius.
I don't know, I mean, the radius. You have a 14-inch head, diameter head. That means I'll have like a 2.5. I think it's a child size 2.
It says 59.6 centimeters.
Oh, God. What does that mean?
Surely that's...
Did you say 59.6?
Yeah, 59.6 centimeters.
All right, all the metric people can take a leap. If you're in tenths of a centimeter.
Yeah, but I guess they would just have a rebuttal and say, why don't you just wear a 60 cm?
Somebody put a tape measure around their head. I want to know the circumference of an average head.
I'm not an average head. 7.5's got to, I mean, that's got to be the diameter.
What's the circumference?
Yeah. I think it's diameter.
Of an average head.
Make sure you're not on Urban Dictionary.
Let's see. According to Wikipedia, one study in the United States shows the average adult head circumference to be 55 centimeters or 21¾ inches for females, 57 centimeters, so 22.5 inches for males.
And what were you, Nick, under 36? Average. You're under average?
Wait, no. What did you say it was?
That's circumference.
Mm-hmm. Circumference is what?
22.5 inches.
Which was how many
57 centimeters.
Yeah, mine was 50. Oh, wait. No. What did I
Yours
say?
Was 59. You said 59.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're
over average. You're in the 90th percentile.
I'm an overachiever.
Yeah.
I set the bar high.
So when a hat is measured at like 7.5, that's got to be radius, right?
Diameter.
Got to
be.
Yeah, diameter.
Diameter. Okay. That'd be a
15. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay.
Yeah, that would go on like one of those giant baseball mascots that you see at a game.
Right.
Yeah.
A Philly fanatic wears a 15.
Mm-hmm. Or the Mets baseball guy there, whatever that thing is that comes out of the apple.
Dude, the Mets are killing it this year.
Yeah. Woo! So are the stupid Yankees.
It's true. But nobody talks about them.
No. Mm. Well, not near you.
No.
Talk of the town over here. If you want to
do
news,
a
I don't,
so. Snow tire day at Yankee Stadium,
as long as I don't throw them on the field. So what's I forget what's on your whiteboard for your next build, Jason?
Well, the built-in video is coming out tomorrow, and then Monday I got all the material delivered for the decorative chair rail casing in the studio, office, whatever you want to call it. And I am going to do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because that's got to be done in time for the painters to come on Thursday. So I'm going to do a video on that. I figure, why not? And then I'm just going to work on finishing up this project and get this TV show wrapped up. And I'm not really going to put out another video until July, I don't think. And then I don't know if it'll be the first video in July, but some point in July, I really want to get started on this treeless treehouse for Ivor.
Wouldn't you just call that clubhouse, a house?
The clubhouse.
Yeah. Well, it's a stilted house amongst the trees.
Yeah.
But it's not built into a tree.
It can survive any flood.
That's one of those projects where before you can get started on the actual project, you have to do 8 other things just to get started on it. Because it's going to be out in the pasture, which means I'm going to have a bunch of lumber delivered out there, but there's no road access out there for the delivery truck to get in. Plus, we're starting our addition in August on that side of the house, so we're going to need access for that too. So we have to put in another access, road access to the property into the pasture, so we have to bring in like a culvert and gravel and do whole...
Why don't you just utilize the golf cart?
The Harley? Oh,
that'd be a lot of trips with big beams. Plus, when I get the lumber delivered, I'm going to have to put the posts in the ground. I'm going to have a cement truck come in and pour all the footings. And so I got to get the road access done first. And then our neighbor's property that I'm basically putting the stilted house right up against the property line, he's got this big grove of ash trees. And there's a couple of them that are leaning over. And I just am afraid that they're going to fall down at some point and crush my
Well, they're child. All going to die. Like,
yeah.
I assume. Well, something like that, quickly.
The beetle?
I don't know.
Well,
I'm going to go cut them down. So I got to get those cut. I got to get those cut down and...
Need to make...
Grab your flush cut saw, your Dozuki flush cut saw.
No, so I have a friend who is becoming a sawyer. He's got his own little portable mill now. And he called me on Sunday and said that he was in Corvallis. He lives over on the coast, but he happened to be in Corvallis, which is pretty close to me. He's like, hey, man, I was wondering if you're not busy this afternoon, if you could help me. I milled up a few logs, and I just need help loading the slabs up into my truck. And I was thinking, okay, I can do that. He just needs an extra set of hands. I'm just going to lift up these slabs, put them in his truck. So I show up, and the house that he's cutting these logs down at, it's on this really steep hill. Their house is built on the side of the hill. And behind their house, it goes down, and there's this creek at the bottom of the hill, and then it goes up on the other side. And there's no road to the other side of this little gully. So I show up, and he's like, let me show you where the slabs are. So he walks me around the house, down the hill, across the creek, up the other side. And he's got these two huge black cherry logs that he milled up.
Ooh.
2-inch thick slabs, 10 feet long, probably anywhere from 20 to 26 inches wide.
Oh,
and each log...
300 pounds.
Each log, there's at least like 4 or 5 of them. And he's like, so all we got to do is just carry these over to my truck. So we proceeded to pick each slab up one by one, carry them down the hill, cross the creek, up the other side of the hill, around the house, up the driveway, and into the back of his truck. And it sucked. And he was like,
oh, man.
He's like, hey, I'd love to pay you for your time. And I said, no, don't pay me. You just owe me a favor.
Yeah, you owe me a slab.
Dwight Schrute over here.
10 slabs.
Yeah, and he said, oh, he's like, okay, no problem. Anytime, just let me know. So basically the next day I called him and I was like, hey, man, I'm gonna cash in that favor. I need some ash trees taken down. So he's going to come out and cut them down. And then I told him he can have the wood. So even though they're not my trees, they're my neighbor's.
Even better.
But my neighbor doesn't care, so... So yeah, I got to cut down the trees, put in the road access. I got to mow down the pasture. I got to rent an excavator, dig out all the footings and all that before I can even really get started. So.
Oh my God. And design the whole thing.
Well, I got the whole thing designed in SketchUp already.
Oh, all right. So you're ahead of game.
So I'm ahead of the game there. And I'll probably include all that other stuff in the video because this is definitely going to be a multiple part video series because there's just going to be way too much to go into this for me to get it done in a timely manner.
Each video is already an hour.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's a TV show right there, that one.
So that's
come back next week.
That's next on the agenda. And the funny thing is, I think we talked about this before, but I've never framed anything in my entire life. Never done construction like that. So as they were building my office, every step of the process, I'm out there like watching what they're doing, taking notes, seeing how they're framing it. So I designed the whole thing in SketchUp based off of just what I learned in watching them frame the office.
It'll look exactly like your office.
Yeah. Well, same size.
It is similar. Like I did the roof structure the same way because I like the way they did that roof. I thought it was cool. But then I did the whole thing in SketchUp and I sent it to my friend who's a contractor and I wanted him to critique me on my framing. And he said I basically did it perfect. He had one small edit on how I did the corners of the walls coming together. But other than that, he said, I did it all right. I didn't know terms of anything. I didn't know really what I was doing, but I can copy someone else's work. Great. So
that's how I got through school.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be a cool, he'll love that.
Yeah, and it'll be fun because awesome. He's not in school, so he can be out there helping me.
Or are you still planning on doing a moat?
Maybe. I've been researching that more, and I think I'll get in trouble if I try and do that because of the water rights laws in our area, specifically because of all the farmland. Anything you do with water, they're really, really strict on. So right.
They need it for
the
marijuana.
What if it just collects?
Well, if it collects specifically, even now there's laws that you have to have a permit just to have rain barrels to collect rainwater.
What?
Yeah, because that's they're saying nature. That water technically belongs to the city earth? Or county.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, because they use that water when it falls and it runs into the gutter and then they collect all that water. So they're trying to keep people from collecting water so that it will actually go to the city, which is kind of funny because, yeah, it's...
So they can charge you for it.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. That's ridiculous. I might still do it, but I don't know if I'm going to talk about doing it on the podcast. that's incriminating.
That's funny.
Wow. Are you going to build a little garage for his go-kart? Or is he going to park it underneath under the stilts?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I feel like this is one of those things that I'm going to build the basic house, and then it'll probably have some evolutions over time and some additions added to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... It'll be fun. Nice. I think it'll be a good summer project, be outside working. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what about the golf cart? I mentioned it, but have we even talked about it on here?
I don't think so. I mean, I bought this 1973 Harley Davidson three-wheeled golf cart.
Not a trike.
No.
Craig found it on Facebook Marketplace and sent me the link, and I immediately said, yes, we need to get this. So we drove 3.5 hours down to Grants Pass and picked it up. I feel like we talked about this, didn't we?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't remember.
So. But so I got to be a passenger. I didn't drive it, but Jason took me on a wild ride.
Should have
through the evergreens.
It. Yeah.
I'm trying to decide what to do with it. Part of me really wants to do something similar to the tank. The first thing that jumps to mind is a rendition on the Batmobile, I think would be really cool.
Oh, yeah.
But then part of me wants to actually legit restore it because it's kind of a cool little Harley golf cart and like, you know, I mean, not restore it back to its original condition, but, you know, fix all the fiberglass, give it a paint job, reupholster the leather seats, you know, redo all the chrome. And I think it could be fun.
I think wooden paneling, like the original Chevy Chase vacation movie. Where
he's got that. Yeah, the Wagoneer.
Yeah, or when I was my grandparents used to live in the villages down in Orange Blossom Gardens, Florida, and everyone has their own golf cart there. And you would roll up to the local town square, And every, like, there's so many carts that were pimped out that looked like Rolls Royces and they looked like old Cadillacs. Like, they would renovate these things to look like real cars. They were so, it was really slick.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd be fun to do something like that. Like those little VW trucks, like half truck. It'd be fun to do something like that. I don't know. I want to do something cool with it. I just don't know what yet.
Yeah.
So.
It'd be fun.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, there's not that much seems to like it. A,
seems like a winter project, though, because I can easily pull that in the shop when it's cold and wet and rainy outside and work on it in there.
Yep. Yeah, you could put it right next to your other winter project.
Right on the workbench.
Mm-hmm.
Right on the outfeed table.
What's my other winter project?
Your Airstream.
Ah, yes, the Airstream.
That's 2024 winter.
Yeah, probably.
One day. Do you know where it is?
Yeah, I mean, it's in Bend, but when the guy took it to do all the body work, he told me his schedule was completely full, and I kind of twisted his arm just to take it so it wasn't at my house.
Oh.
And he said, because we're just doing the body work, because they build out interiors too and all the cabinetry and furniture, but I'm going to do all that stuff. So he said, because we're just doing the body work, there's a chance we'll get to it in 2022, but it's probably going to be 2023.
Wow.
So I'm not surprised I don't have it yet, but that's fine.
Wow. That's a busy schedule.
It's crazy because they're going to completely take the shell off of the trailer, rebuild the trailer, sandblast it all, paint it. They're going to put new axles in it, new wheels, new tires, new brakes, new electrical, new plumbing. They're going to polish the outside. So when I get it back, it's basically going to be a brand new Airstream, new windows. It's just going to be completely empty on the inside.
Yeah.
Wow. So much work.
And then
a blank slate.
A blank slate. And then I can build out all the cabinets and the furniture, and that'll be fun.
That will be fun.
Yeah.
Shag carpet.
Next year.
Shag carpet. Yeah.
Disco ball.
Mm-hmm.
Paneling.
Yeah. So what do you got after this walnut table, Keith?
Yeah, so I do need to finish that fireplace now that the tile's done, and I have a cabinet reconstruction at my sister's. I have, see, if I had my list in front of me, I could just go right down it, but I don't know if I'm trying to think if there were any actual real commissions in there. I think there was. Oh, the shuffleboard table.
There's the shuffleboard table, yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun. Luckily, it's pretty much exact same dimensions as we did, so I should be able to build most of that in my shop without having to outsource it, or my buddy Kevin's shop. So yeah, that'll be fun, but he doesn't need that for a while. But that doesn't mean I can't do it quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, don't give me a schedule that you need it to December, because you'll get it in December.
Get it in January.
I need a hard date earlier than that so I can try to reach it.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's things. There are things. And I got some stuff I got to do here. I really need to do some built-ins in our master bedroom and some stuff downstairs. We'll just see if budget allows. Mm-hmm. Or if I need to take more commissions. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
Cool, cool.
Well, do we have any patron questions for the after show?
I think we do have a few. Yeah.
We got a few. Well, maybe let's head over there and answer some Patreon questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
If you're not signed up for our Patreon, then you go to ShopSounds. No, you go to patreon.com/ShopSoundsPodcast. You sign up, you get access to the after show, and then you can ask us questions through Patreon and we'll answer you directly in the after show. But you got to be a patron any tier level to go over and have access to that. And we're going to head over there right now. And that's like a whole other podcast over there. So you're
right
missing out
now
if you're not signed up.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you, wait, before we go though, why don't you give a shout out to our top tier?
Oh, I forgot. The people that make us who we are, our returning top tier patrons are, in order of our favorite to our least favorite. I'm just joking. They're in here randomly. We got Brendan Caulfield. We've got Jacob at You Should See What I Saw. We got Dev Sales, Glug Glug, That Hot Epoxy. We got Mike Leiden, Scott Holland at Elevated Wood Design, Patrick Campo, Tim Bumgardner at Eisenbaum STL. Wow. We got Jordan at Rustic Creations, Eric Spensley, Spensley Design Co., Derek Jennings at Pecan Tree Design, Adam McKeon, Aaron Gregerson, Ricky Harkins, Alan Dranberg, Noah, Nolan Russell, Robert Fisher, Nicole Lobby, Jeff Noel at GHIJKMNOP63. Keith.
What about the L?
There's no L in there.
Okay.
We got Andreas Wenmir at Jurassic.cc from Sweden, Jono Reich. At Yono 28, we got Ben Fuller at August_trails_designs, Nicholas Fairfield at Fairfield Woodworks with an X, Michael Olson at m.j.olson2181, and don't forget the man, the myth, the legend, Nick Leonard at Stated Woods Co.
The Phantom.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, we're going to head over with all of those people, plus you, if you want to sign up to the after show. So, come on.
Join us.
We'll be over there.
I just got to dig my Isotunes out of the ceiling first. I'll be there in a minute.
All right, I will see you in about half an hour.
Don't leave your hat on the couch either.
I'll try not to.
All right, we'll see you on the next one.
All right. See ya.